The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
This is The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cudahy with you until 7 o'clock. Now, it is just over 1 month since the Taliban seized complete control of Afghanistan. My next guest knows that country well. He has reported from there for many decades. John Simpson is his name. He is the World Affairs Editor for the BBC. John, you're very welcome to the show. I know you're in Pakistan, close to the Afghan border at the moment. The last time we spoke, well, Kabul had yet to fall. So firstly, can I ask, were you surprised at how quickly that happened?
Well, I've seen Kabul fall three times now in a matter of 20, 25 years. And it's always a matter of just a couple of days. It's never taken longer, I think, than 2 days. So, no, I wasn't surprised. And I was actually rather surprised by all the stories. Don't know whether they were true, that the CIA thought that there'd be 3 months of fighting before Kabul fell. The fact is that the Taliban were ferocious in their campaign to capture it. They murdered quite a few of the prisoners that they'd captured in pretty gruesome ways. And the soldiers of the Afghan National Army simply didn't have the stomach to resist them. They lapsed very, very quickly, just as the band themselves collapsed in 2001 and so on and so forth.
The other thing then a few weeks ago that a lot of people were talking about is whether this version of the Taliban were going to be any different, particularly with regards to their treatment of women. And they were making all of the right noises, the Taliban, that, you know, they would have a new approach, a much more liberal approach to women and to women's education. A lot of talk that they were a new Taliban. Are they?
Well, they are and they aren't. They've only had just over a month to show how they are and whether they're different and whether they're not. Fact is that there's a big difference between the leadership and the people in the streets. The leadership are different. One of the great problems, as you might imagine, working for television was that they insisted that there could be no images of any living creature. So that I remember once filming in an empty street, which was all we were allowed to do, and that our minder going absolutely berserk because a bird flew across it, and we had to destroy the pictures and so forth. That's clearly changed. I mean, the leadership have all been on television and all been photographed time and time again. Well, it's not terribly important, perhaps, but it does show a slight kind of acceptance of the 21st century. The real problem is that the rank and file seem to be completely unreconstructed, hitting people with sticks in the street, beating them with whips, attacking people, killing prisoners again. And, you know, that's the interface between the Taliban and the Afghan people. It's not what the leaders say when they give their press conferences. It's what the rank and file do in the streets.
And if that rank and file, as you said, if they remain unchanged, it would suggest that the experience of the Afghan people, the ordinary Afghan people, is going to be similar to their experience from 1996 to 2001, is it?
Well, I think that is the real danger, yes. And there's no evidence so far that I've seen that the Taliban leadership can really control their troops. Those kind of vigilante groups, self-selecting and self kind of generating, who simply hang out on the streets, five, six, seven of them, beating passers-by if they don't like the way they're dressed or the way they look at them. And that is the reality of the way that the Taliban ruled the country from 96 to 2001. And there must be a good chance that that'll be the reality this time.
The treatment of women I mentioned, that's something that a lot of people have focused on, given the great strides in Afghanistan since 2001 up until now. And listen, I appreciate what you say. It's very early days in terms of the Taliban rule of the country. But what are the early indications telling us?
It's not clear, actually. I mean, it's not clear whether women will be allowed proper education, for instance. I mean, it looked at the first as though women would be barred, and now it's not quite so clear. And that is the touchstone in many, many ways. I mean, there are other touchstones, dress, the way that people dress in the streets, but the attitude towards women is the key one. From 96 to 2001, I keep on going back to that because, of course, that's when we last saw the Taliban in power, in control of these things. If they heard that a secret school was being maintained for young girls, I remember in 1997 or 8, maybe, I'm not quite sure, going to a secret school which the Taliban had discovered, and the group that raided it threw a hand grenade into the school, and I think several young girls were killed there. That kind of thing is what, of course, everybody dreads, and we'll have to see. But I think there is a point to be made, and I've of course been one of the ones most saying, look, the Taliban are the Taliban, they're how they are. But maybe there is a change, because Afghanistan itself has changed out of all recognition, and putting it back into that ruined kind of box that it was in from 96 to 2001 may now be impossible.
I mentioned at the outset, you're in Pakistan. Have you had any interaction with representatives of this new Afghanistan, the Taliban?
No, nobody serious. I've interviewed various Taliban soldiers and talked to them and so forth. In a brief incursion into Afghanistan, but I haven't been able to see the leaders. As I say, in a way, it's the people way down the chain that set the tone for the whole country. And the ones I spoke to seem to me absolutely no different, although they're a generation younger, from the Taliban soldiers that I used to know. That's to say, very, very kind of basic country boys with a real dislike for cities, towns, townspeople, that kind of thing, anxious to kind of show that they're the boss and prepared to use violence. So I don't see that side of things if they feel that their position requires it. They're not a nice movement at all. It's quite unpleasant. I've found one or two of the leaders in the past and since 2001, quite engaging people, quite intelligent people, but it's the rank and file that are the unpleasant ones.
And finally then, John, in terms of comparisons between 96 and 2001, when the Taliban were last in power, and now, I mean, how important is the global reaction to all of this, and particularly Afghans' neighbours, China, and the role they're going to play?
I think let's just with China first. And the thing about the way that China behaves towards pretty much any country that it's got an interest in, and China has quite a lot of kind of mineral and rare earth interests in Afghanistan. The thing about them is that they don't care anything about the government as long as the government agrees to give the Chinese what they want to give them. And so I think we can kind of rule out China as being of any interest or effect at all. I think the real problem is going to come quite soon with the Afghan economy. The big difference, one of the many big differences between now and 1996 was that back then the outside world didn't really care at all about Afghanistan and were prepared to let it just kind of sink down into the mud. This time it is different. There will be, I think, some deal at some stage done to unfreeze frozen assets and so on, nation, and perhaps to pump money into the country. If the Afghan economy bubbles over and works simply, well, the Chinese will certainly be there in big numbers, but the outside world also, the other countries of the world, may be more interested in it. And the more that there is an outside interest, the less likely it is that the Taliban will just be able to run things in that wholly backward way that they did before. So it's too early, really, to be able to tell any of these things. But I have to say, I mean, I haven't met Afghan, wasn't a member of the Taliban, who thinks that this can possibly be a successful outcome to the crisis.
All right. Well, listen, we'll leave it there. John, a pleasure as always, and always interesting as well to hear from you. John Simpson, World Affairs Editor with the BBC, who is in Pakistan on the Afghan border. We've a text in on 53106. The Biden administration handling of the pullout from Afghanistan has to go down as a complete disaster. They could have kept Bagram Air Base, but no, China gets it now. A sham of a president, adds that texter. Anyway, 53106 is the text number.